the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Schrader to run. Skips out of a tackle. He's at the 50. Cuts back at the 45. Running room 40 down the middle. 35, 30. Schrader to go. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5 and in. Garrett Schrader. A blur.
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Don't
up.
Fit. Pop pass up in the middle.
Got
Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15, 10. Hit in for an orange touchdown.
Schrader to throw to the end zone. Quealy wide open. Catch at the goal line. He's in for a touchdown. Orange.
Snap to Travis. Quick release. Near side. Oh, my God. It's the interception of the year. Oh, did he get it? He did. What an incredible reception by Deuce Chestnut.
This is Double Down with Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan.
What's going on? Double Down on your Thursday. Very fun show today. Q's football to kick things off, and then we're just going all NFL. Tommy and I get to pick the whole NFL board for the first time ever. Tommy Hogan gets the first pick in the Double Down NFL draft, so stick taps to him on that one. Lot of fun, lot of great radio today too. So this show, you can call in 315-437-7644. Later on, you're going to get both the baseball game and the football game on our airwaves tonight. So game 5, Dodgers Giants, that's on 1200 AM, 907 first pitch. And of course on 97.7 and 100.1, you get Thursday Night Football, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But the most fun part of all of that is you can join the fun on QSportsTalk.com. Go to QSportsTalk.com. You get to see Tommy and I mucking it up. You get to see our guest, Sean Keeley, who's going to join us in a second here. If you're on QSportsTalk.com, you notice no background behind me like usual. We're doing it from the office, but Sean joins us now. A lot of Syracuse people definitely know who Sean Keeley is. He's the creator of Noon's Magician, also just a massive resume, but right now working with Comeback Media, which does the awful announcing Twitter, who I'm sure many people follow and they end up circulating all over the place. But Sean, thanks so much for coming on. What's going on?
Everything's really good. It's great to be back on a Syracuse radio station. It's been a while.
So I asked Andy Pregler this yesterday when he came on the show, and we'll make this your first question. For people that don't follow you on Twitter, which, by the way, unbelievable follow on Twitter, probably the best live tweeter of Syracuse sports. Where do you rank as far as a typical Syracuse fan on a typical season in positivity to negativity? Where are you as far as everything sucks and the world is terrible to Syracuse is going to win two national championships this year?
Well, this, I feel like this season that goes play by play, or quarter by quarter. Right now, I don't know if we're going to be able to win the national championship this year.
Yep.
We may come up a little bit short. But I'm certainly, the sky is not falling at the moment, but it certainly could. We'll see how this weekend goes.
Well, Sean, if Alabama loses one and then they lose again in the SEC championship, I think Syracuse may have a shot. There is a path there. I think we can come up with it. But I want to talk about the site.
I feel like there's a tiebreaker.
Yeah, there's something there. I mean, Oregon's lost. There's a path. There's still a path there. But the site is named Troy Noon's Magician. I know you've told the story before. I want to hear it myself, though. How did you come up with that? Why Troy Noon's?
I started the site in, I think it was 2005, and I was looking for a blog name, and I wanted it to be something interesting, and all the names that you would expect to hear were already taken, like Orange 44 and Q's Hoops and, you know, Q's Country and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, I need something different. And there was this phrase that was stuck in my mind from a Syracuse-Auburn game in, I believe it was 2001, when Syracuse was at Auburn. And, you know, if anyone remembers, Troy Noon's was the quarterback who had the dubious distinction of following Donovan McNabb. And so tons of pressure and, you know, too much, you know, so much to live up to. And so, you know, at that point, I think he was kind of going back and forth with some other quarterbacks and, you know, was still kind of making his way. So there wasn't too much hype around him, but for whatever reason, Syracuse was in this game late, and Troy hits David Tyree, of all people, for a touchdown, a big touchdown. I think it was like right at the end of the game to send it to overtime or something like that. And the announcer, who I apologize, I think maybe it was Todd Blackledge, but I know we've talked about it on the site, but he just exclaimed without any irony whatsoever, Nunes is an absolute magician. And I just thought that was the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. And it just stuck with me. And so when it came time to name the blog, I was like, all right, well, let's just go with Troy Nunes as an absolute magician. And what was kind of funny about it was it kind of ended up being this like calling card where if you knew what, who that was and why that was a weird thing to say, it was kind of like, you're in, you can be part of the club here. So yeah, definitely, you know, in an era of weird blog names, it was one that, that definitely stood out.
So you've kind of started the covering sports, I feel like, at least in this area, in a more sarcastic and a more fun and lighthearted way. Why did you guys decide to go that way? Why weren't you just every other blog? And you made it more, here's a scenario where Syracuse can go undefeated and all these different, just different looks at Syracuse sports.
You know, when it was, when I just started it and it was just me, it was just about, I wanted to write the kind of blog that I want to go read. So, I was, living in LA in time and I, at the time, and I was, really into screenwriting. And so I was all about storytelling and things like that. So I was like, we're going to talk about the news of the day, but we're also going to do, we're going to take all the Big East mascots and like come up with like a wacky story for them to run through. And, you know, this was the era of like, of Deadspin back when it was, you know, Will Leach and that. And so they had kind of pioneered in a sense that, that way of looking at, sports content online of like, you know, that weird thing we all noticed when we were watching the game last night, like in the background, like, let's talk about that. And so I love stuff like that. And so that's where, you know, it was like, I want to talk about the weird thing that Greg Robinson said at his press conference. I want to talk about, that fan that we all saw in the crowd at the Carrier Dome who like was doing some weird thing. And so that's where it came from. And then, you know, as more people came on, it was, everybody brought their own kind of stamp to it. And it was kind of cool to see how the site kind of developed over time and, became like a real resource for people.
Have you gained a relationship with Troy Nunes at all from making the site?
I wouldn't put it in terms of a relationship. I would say that Troy has reached out or voiced his opinions about the name and the fact that when you search for him on the internet, this is what you get. I wouldn't say he's given us our blessing or anything like that. I'm also to this day always just surprised. I've never received any kind of legal document or cease and desist letter. So, fingers crossed that continues for the guys running the blog now. So yeah, he's certainly aware, but I think that's about where it stops.
This is Double Down on ESPN Radio with Sean Keeley, the creator of Nunes Magician. And as I mentioned, one of the best Syracuse football live tweeters of all time. So Clemson Friday night, what do you think your tweets are going to be? Where do we think this game's going to come from your perspective?
You know, I think that's the problem. And I feel like I'm sidestepping your question a little bit. I really don't know game to game what is happening this season. So, you know, you look at it on paper and you're like, this is our best chance to beat Clemson. And, if we do the things that we've been doing where we come out really strong in the first half, and you know, we can kind of, you know, punch them in the nose a little bit and which is something I think we've done in the past with Clemson. Even when they were much better. And then in the second half is always where, you know, they adjust and all of that. And we've had a lot of trouble with that this season. So I'm definitely wary of that. You know, I hate to be generic, but, you know, if Sean Tucker can get going and we're not making a lot of mistakes and special teams can kind of step up, hopefully, then, you know, I think we've got as good a shot as we've had in any year.
Sean, I've got one more question about the site before I get into my Syracuse Clemson stuff. Has there ever been a more recent player that you thought was close enough to being a magician that you would change the name?
Well,
you
yeah,
guys have put some cease and desist tweets out there, right?
Yeah, I'm always concerned about that. I mean, it's not my call anymore, and I don't think it was my call at this point. But if anybody was going to deserve it, it was Eric Dungy.
Yeah.
He certainly embodied the absolute magician mentality when he was out there on the field. But yeah, that's I don't know. It's no getting the number 44, but that would be a high honor.
Yes, it would. Put a banner up.
Tommy, you can ask your question because I think there's somewhere that you guys tweeted cease and desist at me, and I got to try to find it. So, Tommy, go ahead.
Okay. Obviously, Sean, last week, the big discussion was the big three of the decisions for Dino Babers. Where did you lie on that big three?
You know, I think the one that obviously really hurt the most to me was the penalty on the two-point conversion.
Oh, yeah.
That it's such a classic opportunity. You know, you're at home, you go for two. That's the thinking. And if we got it, what a game changer for the rest of the season. It sets up the whole rest of the season so much differently in terms of getting to a bowl game. And if you miss it, you know, like that would have really sucked. But at least I think we would have felt good about the fact that we went for it. But yeah, you know, it's the latest in a line of decisions that, you know, you don't want it to be about that for a head coach, but when you're losing games, especially close games and games that are winnable, it's those little decisions that end up that just become so big and it's hard to brush them aside after a while.
This is Double Down on ESPN Radio with Sean Keeley, the creator of Noon's Magician. Now does a whole bunch of other cool stuff too. All right, so I found my tweets. The first one I tweeted I was working at the University of Vermont, and I tweeted out that our video guy was an absolute magician. And you tweeted at me and said, "Call the lawyers at Noon's Magician." So that was the first one. And then another tweet that I have to give you crap for. So I don't even. Do you run the Awful Announcing Twitter or no?
No, I don't. But okay. There's a few of us who chime in there.
All right, so I'm gonna back my boy Tommy Hogan up a little bit here. Tommy and I did the TBT trip with Boeheim's Army, and Tommy sent me the tweet where you guys, if anyone doesn't know, follow at Awful Announcing on Twitter. It's a hilarious follow. They have over 270,000 followers, so a lot of people see these tweets. And that you guys tweeted out my call, the $1 million shot, all that stuff, and you said, "Here's the call by Michael Lear." But people forget that Tommy Hogan filmed the shot that you posted, and Tommy Hogan got no credit. Tommy, your thoughts before Sean defends his company.
Sean, what the hell, man? Give the cameraman some props, please.
Can I say that I was, at the time, I was merely a freelance presence at the site, so I have no recollection of that, Senator.
Oh, come on.
But fair enough. Fair enough.
I'll take that all day long.
I had to deal with Mike all pumped up looking at his notifications all day long. So, yeah, thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate that. I got a question for you about the Syracuse-Clemson game. Finally, would it be a bad thing, you think, if we saw – I asked this to Brent on the blind side. But would it be a bad sign if we actually saw Syracuse – Garrett Schrader and Sean Tucker run for more carries than they did last week? They had 55 carries last week. They probably have to do more through the air, right?
I mean, in theory, yeah. I think, you know, I know Wake Forest has had a great season and you know, a credit to them for how well they've done. And Clemson is certainly down, but I think Clemson is still Clemson. They still have the athletes. And I don't know if we can beat Clemson with a one-dimensional offense. I think we can probably, like I was saying, you know, we can do that thing where we strike in the first half and really make something of that. But I think Clemson and most teams, as we've seen this season, they're really good at adjusting against us in the second half. And if we don't have a strong passing game, that's always going to come back and bite us. So my assumption is no, we wouldn't be able to do that if we're not getting the ball downfield like Tommy DeVito would be able to.
All right, Sean. So you have been covering Syracuse sports for way longer than I've even thought about watching a Syracuse game. So you have to give us one pick. Give us something. So this is a gambling show. We always pick the Syracuse game. Is it Clemson minus 13.5, Syracuse on the other side, or are you going to go with the total at 44.5 over or under that? Where do you fall on this game? I'm just asking for one hard take on this game.
The thing that immediately popped into my head was to go over on that. I think this is good. I think under. If anything. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is one of those games where we're going to see both offenses put a lot of points up. I think this is going to be one of those ones where, like, big scores in the first half, then second half, everybody clamps down. But I think it's still going to be enough. I think Tucker's going to get his touches, and Clemson's going to do what Clemson does. You know, even as much as they're having a down year, I still stick with that. So yeah, that's my, so if it's me versus Andy on this, I look forward to trashing him on Twitter about it.
Love it. We'll get the clip out there and we'll put you guys head to head.
Sean, I've got my last question. You mentioned that you like to comment on the fans. You like to comment on the things in the background of the game. When I was a freshman and a sophomore at Syracuse, I would copycat the composer. I'd line myself up with the composer during basketball games, and I'd copy them. I'm putting you on the spot. What would be your tweet if you saw that on a basketball broadcast? Are you even mentioning me, or is that something not even cool enough to mention, or is that getting a Sean Keeley tweet?
You know, something like that, I think I'm going to go with the image speaks for itself. So I'm going to grab that clip. I'm just going to put it up there. I'm not going to say anything. And I'm just going to, I'm going to let, sometimes the simplest thing to do is the best thing to do. And I'm just going to let people run with it.
Well said. Let it speak
hashtag
for itself.
No caption. Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, Sean, thank you so much. We may beg you to come back sometime later in the year during basketball season or something, but appreciate some time from you.
My pleasure.
Sean Keeley from Noon's Magician and all things great on Twitter. But thanks so much for coming on. And when we come back, we'll give our Syracuse pick. It's finally Thursday. We'll give our Syracuse pick next. And then when we come back after that, all of the NFL picks. That's all coming up on Double Down on ESPN Radio.
This is Double Down with Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan.
Here he is, voice man. Welcome back, Double Down on ESPN Radio. We got NFL picks on the other side, but right now, the moment that none of you have been waiting for.
Well said.
The Syracuse football picks from Tommy Hogan and Michael Lear. I'll kick things off, and I feel really bad about this. But when Andy said it yesterday, I bought in, and I know that we just had Sean Keeley on the show, and he said the opposite, but I love two units under 45 Syracuse Clemson in the dome. Give me the under two. I'm doubling down on it, literally.
Yes, literally. I agree with you. I was shocked when Sean said he'd take the over there. I think this is going to be a low-scoring slobber knocker of a game. Whenever you can use slobber knocker, use it.
Slobber knocker.
Yep. This is going to be a slugfest. Both teams struggle on offense besides the running. I mean, Syracuse runs the ball well. Clemson's defense is really good. One of the best defenses in the country. But their offense is just so bad. So bad. So,
are you going two units?
No, I'm going.
Come on.
No, I'll let you know what I'm doing.
First ever four unit double down, quadruple down.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what makes my thing a little funky. I have 2.5 units involved in this game. One, Syracuse is covering the spread. Syracuse plus 13.5. They're keeping this game close. Half a unit. We're going to sprinkle it on the Syracuse money line. This is the best opportunity Syracuse has had to beat Clemson since they beat Clemson 4 years ago this week. What worries me, Clemson coming off a bye, Dabo Swinney is now coaching one of his worst Clemson teams, or at least you think so, the worst in a few years. He's now coming off a bye, so you're giving him 2 weeks to fix that offense that has been dreadful. You have to think that they are going to be improved this year or this week. So we'll see. That makes me a little bit nervous about the game. But, I mean, that defense, they've only allowed 3 touchdowns all season long, Mike. It's incredible. It's an unbelievable defense. So I'm going with Syracuse to cover. A half a unit on Syracuse to win outright. But also, where the other unit comes into play, Clemson didn't have the equipment manager on their on my show this week. So they are involved in the Double Down Vendetta Parlay of the Week.
So Syracuse plus 13.5 and then a half a unit on the Syracuse money line. Those are Tommy Hogan's picks. I'm not taking the orange. I'm not taking the spread on either side. I like the under because I think that Syracuse could cover and lose. I don't think it's likely Syracuse wins the game. The other reason I like the under, and again, I'm sorry to say this, Syracuse could get shut out. Clemson could score 40 points. It could be 38-0 and that under hits. So that's why
Clemson can't score 38 points.
Okay, then great. Then my under is even in better shape. So I'm going 2 units on the under. Those are my only 2 units on the game, except for the fact that Tommy makes me actually bet his stupid parlay, assuming he watches 1 period of hockey a week. Have you watched 1 period of hockey yet this week?
This is where this deal is going to get a little bit funky. How will I be able to prove that you watched?
Integrity check. Integrity check. You know what watching hockey is, and I trust you.
I watched a period of hockey. What was it, yesterday or the night before when ESPN debuted it? Two nights ago, I watched a period combined of the Penguins, Lightning, Kraken, and whoever they played game. If that's not proof, I don't know what is.
All right, I trust you, but I'm only taking your stupid parlay as long as you actually do pay attention and watch some hockey.
It's a sexy one this week, too. The Double Down Vendetta Parlay of the Week is a sexy one. You got UL Monroe, they're plus 32.5 against Liberty. Let's do it. Northwestern plus 2 against Rutgers. Love that one. And then Syracuse plus 13.5. Love that one even more. Hop aboard, people. Come on.
All right. So we got to go out to the phone lines real quick. Scooter's with us. This is Double Down on ESPN Radio. After this conversation with Scooter, we're going to bet the entire NFL board. But first, Scooter, people are telling us that you have a story that has to make the airwaves right now. What's going on?
It's an exclusive Double Down. Idol the Orange.
My man.
You're probably never going to hear the history. I got to set the stage first. I lived in the Mohawk Valley for about 10 years, and I met people that I didn't realize they were Notre Dame graduates. These guys are CEOs or bankers, and they turn out to be most of them are Notre Dame graduates or very big fans of Notre Dame. And they actually would put a trailer, go down to South Bend, put it in there for the whole football season, go back and forth. That's how big they were. But they got a party bus for Notre Dame. John McLeod was the coach. It was an afternoon football or basketball game on a Saturday. The time you might look it up, I think it was late 90s. Well, these seats were great. We're 5 rows off the court. Well, you guys, you know the relay with the flag guys, the cheerleaders, they go around the court.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Idol the Orange, whoever that was back in 95, 96, 94, is standing where the sour citrus is behind that basket. So they're going around and they're all got the guy's got the flag in one hand and they have an empty hand in the other. So the last guy is trucking. He's just like Tucker. He's flying around. So I guess out of the orange is thinking, I guess, because I'm watching. Remember, this is before camera phones, and it was during the TV timeout, that out of the orange, I guess, is going to give this guy a high five when he blows by him. And I'm looking, and this guy's going full tilt. I'm going, he's going to run over out of the orange. He literally runs him over, and out of the orange is laser. And I think he's got, I think it looks like roadkill. I go, I think this killed out of the orange. And I mean, I'm sitting there, and then he gets up, he starts swinging, and he's trying to hit the cheerleader. The cops come over and separate them, and the police are escorting out of the orange, out of the Carrier Dome. And then all of a sudden, you see him walking away, holding his head, So I actually checked the police blotter the next day to see if there was a write up. But it was the funniest thing. But I guess his idea was, hey, you know, I'm just going to give this guy a high five in his empty hand. He literally ran him over. I mean, it wasn't just a bump. It actually looked like Tucker running over that safety going in for the tying. Would have been the tying touchdown. It was the tying touchdown. I mean, but I never saw that before. And if they had camera phones back then, this thing would have gone viral.
Oh yeah, Barstool's picking that up. Mike, I desperately wish that was you.
Oh my
God, you weren't even born yet, dude. I mean, I guess it was sometime between 95 and 99 when McLeod was at Notre Dame.
They won the game. Notre Dame won the game. It was a Saturday afternoon. In fact, I ended up, I was actually dressed in orange from the party bus that they brought, the charter bus. I ended up actually talking to John McLeod. He used to be the Phoenix Suns coach. So I'm at this Notre Dame celebration party on Carrier Circle after the game with orange on. I'm feeling like a sore thumb, but I got to talk to John McLeod it was one of those things where not too many people saw it because, like I said, it was halftime. I just happened to be close to him, and I thought the same thing. I said, this guy's not going to pull up. He's going to just run him over, and he did.
Love that. Mike could use a whooping like that. I wish it was you.
That's an unbelievable Scooter. That's a great story, Scooter. Thank you so much for calling in with it. So one little caveat to that story. I have, being on that team, I've heard every Otto story in the book. The issue becomes that was frat Otto. So that was when Otto was only a fraternity. So it was just a bunch of drunk college dudes that basically created Otto the Orange. So then it got taken over and became an actual thing, like sanctioned by the university. But that was frat Otto that got in a fight. So I love that story.
That's something I would join. Frat Otto that they just let get into fights. I'm in on that.
Yeah. I mean, one time, and I'm sure that guy was never in the suit ever again. All right. Let's take a break and come back and do these NFL picks. A lot of NFL talk on the other side on ESPN Radio.
You got to know.
This is Double Down with Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan.
At the table. All right, buckle up, everybody. Buckle up. We got a boatload of picks right now. NFL slate, the way we do it, we each get to pick one game, one at a time. Once that game's off the board, nobody can pick it. It's a fun way to do it. Tommy gets the first pick for the first time ever, and we might have the same first overall, but Tommy Hogan, you get the honors.
Mike, I'm going to head out to the phone lines. Audible, Vito in Syracuse has a fantasy question for us. I want to take this. I want to see if maybe Barry Matthew or Ian the Week gave us the answer. We'll see. Vito in Syracuse, what's up?
Okay, guys, so I got a really tough decision. I got to make it by tonight's game. So I got four wide receivers, okay? And I'm going to give you real quick what the wide receiver defensive ranking is for the defense they're facing. So Godwin tonight, number six, Eagles. And on the other side, Devontae Smith going against the worst pass defense, number 32, Bucks. The other two guys are Emmanuel Sanders. Actually, I think Bucks are 31. Titans are 32. And I got Sanders in that one on Monday night. And then the other guy, so that's Chase Claypool, Steelers. He's going against number 26, Seahawks. Their secondary stinks, too. So I got to pick three of those four. And then I would like to say something about Babers very quick after, okay?
I would go Godwin, I would go Sanders, and I would go Smith. I would not play Claypool. I don't trust Big Ben. I would stay away from that if he can.
Right, but here's the deal. Here's the deal with that, though. Juju's out. He's got to go to either Deontay or Claypool most of the game.
Right, but also Seattle and Geno Smith, that offense probably won't have to do too much in order to beat them. They're probably just going to run the ball. I would stay away from Claypool.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, I didn't think about that. All right, so let me just say something real quick about Babers. Sure. Oh, by the way, last week I called everybody and their brother. I'm a big Steelers fan. I said, lay the house on the Steelers. They are not losing this game. They were underdogs by a point and a half. I didn't lay the house, but I laid a lot on them.
Yep, the garage.
Easiest bet I think in history that game was. It was like, give me money.
I wish you told me before I picked the Broncos.
Oh, you did?
I did.
How could you do that? So you got to look at it this way. This is the way I look at it. Steelers had all week to retool. They had all week to retool the offensive line, which was in shambles the week before. But they got to win some games. Like, they're not going to go 1-15. And I just looked at it like they're right. Big Ben's probably heard all the talk about him being done, and they're going to come back fired up, and they did. So they covered. Anyway, real quick about Babers. The end of the first half against Wake Forest, there was like 2 minutes left. Wake got down inside the five. He had either two or three. I think he had all three timeouts. It made absolutely no sense not to call the timeouts there inside the five, because they're going to get four cracks at the goal at the touchdown no matter what. The only thing that's going to benefit by calling timeout is you guys, is your team. If he calls timeout, he's keeping the clock and giving his team time to come back downfield. I don't understand why he didn't call those timeouts. They ran the clock all the way down and scored a touchdown. He didn't get the ball back. That was one of the dumbest coaching decisions I've ever seen. I said to myself, I really question this guy's IQ.
Fair, Vito. You probably should be. I guess his rationale would be, let's use them on offense. If they're inside the five, they're probably going to score on the first or second play. Let's keep those timeouts for on offense when we're driving. But, yeah, some coaches just have a different philosophy, whether you're going to save them for offense or whether they're going to call them on defense to give your offense the most amount of time. It's also, I don't remember exactly what you're talking about, but that would be my rationale of what he was thinking. Well, let's get to the six-pack, or to our NFL picks here, Mike. I know we need to go quick. You talked about during the break, if we had the same number one, because there's an obvious number one you think. My number one pick, Cowboys -3.5 in New England. Is that the same as yours? Wow. The silence is deafening. Who knows? But the Cowboys, they never have beaten a Bill Belichick-led team, a led Patriots team. Unbelievable that in his 20 years, the Cowboys have not been able to beat them. I know NFC, AFC, but that's still crazy that the Cowboys have never beat a Bill Belichick Patriots team. They're second in the NFL in rushing, the Cowboys. They have been fantastic on the ground. Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard has been a real weapon for the Cowboys this year. Patriots, they're just 15th in the NFL in rushing. Just 15th, they're middle of the pack. So I think the Cowboys, they're going to be able to run right over them. I know, and by the way, the Patriots, they had a play against Tom Brady a couple weeks ago in New England. So they are still dealing a little bit of an emotional game there. Emotional hangover. I like the Cowboys. I think they're really good. I think they have one of the best offenses in the NFL. I'm rolling with them. My second pick. Now this is going to get a little, this is going to be some controversy, no question. I'll make it, though. Chargers, money line. They're 2.5-point underdogs. They're in Baltimore. The Chargers had the worst rushing defense in the NFL. Don't care. The Ravens only had one good quarter against the Colts last week. One good quarter. Yes, it was unbelievable. Yes, they made the play in overtime because they won the coin flip. That game basically came down to a coin flip, literally. The Chargers are unbelievable. The Chargers are a legitimate Super Bowl threat this year. Justin Herbert's the real deal. That coach, Brandon Staley, is unbelievably aggressive. He's going for it on like 4th-and-7, 4th-and-8. You don't see that from coaches. You just don't. It's incredible what he's doing. He understands his quarterback is very good. His offense has weapons all over the field, and he's going to use them. He's going to trust that offense to get it done. He also was the defensive coordinator for Sean McVay. He saw in practice what annoyed defense, and now he's going to do what annoys the defense. He is seeing it or saw it from a different perspective and is now using that as a head coach. He is fantastic. We're going to take a break here. Calling an audible. We had Vito. I hope I'm going to answer that correctly. I'm going to now be engaged in his fantasy team because I want to be the guy that made the right call. We're going to head to break and hopefully finish up our NFL pick segment next.
I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had.
This is Double Down with Michael Lear and Tommy Hogan. Magazine,
smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes,
I see my name in shiny lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the
All right, we are back. ESPN Radio Syracuse, QSportsTalk.com. We are making our picks for the NFL Week 6 slate. Michael Lear, give us two. I created a little bit of controversy. I think we cleaned it up during the break. So give me your two picks.
All right. So the two that I had on the top of my board that I thought for sure Tommy had, wild that you did not pick the Chiefs -6.5.
Staying away.
Chiefs, I understand that their defense is bad, but the Chiefs just lost to the Bills on primetime, and you think Patrick Mahomes is not going to go blow out the Washington football team? He's going to absolutely pummel them. I think that line is disgusting at -6.5. The Chiefs is an easy, easy pick. They might win by 50. I mean, they literally, the Washington football team allows 31 points per game. They're the second worst defense in the league.
That Chiefs defense is really bad, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out now too, so they're down a weapon. Their offense is already looking a little bit suspect. Their defense stinks. I did not like that game. Not only is it not first on my board, it's not on my board at all. I stayed away from it completely.
So I got that, and then I also got Green Bay -5. I just think when there's a rivalry, the good team's going to go kick the crap out of the bad team. That's just the way I think that game's going to go. But now it's your pick. We're going to end up with six. We got two each, so we got to be on our horses here.
All right, my next pick. I have the Browns -3 at home against the Cardinals. They're coming off a devastating loss in LA against the Chargers. That was an unbelievable game. Play of the week, or game of the weekend. Browns, the best rushing offense in the league. Cardinals, the fourth worst rushing defense in the league. No Chandler Jones, no Max Williams for the Cardinals. Even the Browns -3.
That was on my board. So you've done much better at picking what was on my board in these situations. I'm going to go, and this is kind of an ugly pick, but I like it. Jacksonville +3.5 against
stinky
Miami. In London. Stinky game. Two bad teams. I'm kind of betting on Tua not playing, but even if he does, I think I'll still be fine. It's an absolute London dud, the Jags and the Dolphins.
Sleep in on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely probably going to sleep in, but oh no, it's a game day here in Utica, not to brag. But I think Trevor Lawrence is kind of getting his sea legs a little bit. He'll find a little bit of a groove. I think it'll be actually a pretty fun game to watch if Tua plays. I think that seeing the two of them in London with a bunch of fans that have never heard of either of them, because I'm sure people overseas don't give a crap about college football.
Well done.
Yeah, swindled my way right around that one. Yeah, so I'm taking the Jags +3.5.
My next pick, I'm riding out my Colts. It was the best Carson Wentz has looked since 2019, maybe even 2018. He was phenomenal.
You're chasing, man.
I don't care.
Gonna break your heart.
No, I don't care. I don't. They're beating the Texans. The Texans stink. Mills Mafia stinks. Give me Colts -10. I don't even care about laying 10 points. The Colts, I think they're coming. They're going to come off of that game and be like, all right, we got to show that those first three quarters are the team that we actually are. I think they'll be just fine. I like it.
I'm not saying they're not going to win. I'm not, but I don't think they're going to cover that -10
Watch.
Line. You got a quarterback with an ankle
no,
and a
he
half
was fine.
At most.
He was fine. If you watch that game, you realize Carson Wentz was fine.
All right, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go over to that Panthers-Vikings game. Vikings are winless on the road. They've scored just 26 points in the last two games combined, and the Panthers obviously have lost two after their 3-0 start, but. Not coincidentally, that was without Christian McCaffrey. He's 50-50 right now per sources on the internet. So I'm going to take the Panthers in that game. I really like it. I think if McCaffrey plays, they'll definitely cover. And if he doesn't, they still have a pretty good chance of covering in that game.
I will now be getting the top five picks on my board. And that the fifth one here will be Lions +3.5 at home against the Bengals. Lions coach Dan Campbell was crying during the press conference this week. I think that's a good thing. I do. Both teams,
yeah,
they're coming off.
Always a good thing.
Yeah.
Always a good thing.
He's into it, man. He's passionate. I think that
no,
team
I
plays
love when
for
my
him.
Football coaches
yeah.
cry.
I couldn't agree more. Joe Burrow, by the way, may not be able to talk. We still don't know if he has a voice. So give me the Lions +3.5 They may get their first win this week. Last one. Do you have another pick for me? Oh, my God. He's silent. No pick. I've got one more. I'm going to go Packers minus five in Chicago. Barstool Big Cat is a guy that has started talking to Aaron Rodgers a little bit. I think Aaron Rodgers wants to pounce on these Chicago Bears even more now because of it. So give me the Packers minus five. Stay tuned on Twitter. We'll tweet it out from Q Sports Talk _ Twitter account. We also tweet it out from ESPN Syracuse Twitter account. Mike will have his last pick or two on that board. Credit to me for being the MVP of today's show, because the voice of the Utica Comets going into their first game this weekend has been an absolute disaster. Thank God for me. Credit to me. And I didn't want to have to say this, but what brutal juju for your Utica Comets, because their voice just had a miserable show. We'll be back Monday.